Shalom. This is Yair Davidi from Bambi, Beit Am Broadcasting Israel. The subject of this lecture is the Mashiach, the Messiah, son of Joseph, in Jewish sources. In our last lecture, we introduced to you the concept of the Messiah, son of Joseph. Our last lecture dealt with the future reunification of Judah and Joseph. We saw that the Messiah, son of Joseph, according to the commentators and the tradition, will be a future leader of the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and who will initiate an arousal, a coming back to the land of Israel, a return to the sources of the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and their future reunification with Judah. We will now look at a source that dedicates itself to the subject of the Messiah, son of Joseph, and we will see how it complements identification of the descendants of Joseph with a group of peoples who are predominant amongst the English-speaking peoples in the USA, in Canada, in the British Isles, in Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. And they also have offshoots or representatives of their kin in such nations as Scandinavia, Finland, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Holland, Belgium, Switzerland, France, and Ireland. Regarding the Messiah, son of Joseph, I repeat, the Messiah, son of Joseph, is distinct from Messiah, son of David. As we said in Jewish sources and according to tradition, the first there will become a Messiah, son of Joseph, who will lead the 10 tribes. And he will initiate the process of redemption. At some stage after his appearance, there will appear the Messiah, son of David. Eventually, the Messiah, son of David, will be the supreme ruler of all of Israel, and the two halves will reunite. How this will happen, no one is certain, but that it definitely will take place is a fact, is something that we can take for granted. It is a definite phenomenon that the prophet spoke about, and that must happen at some stage or other. The Messiah, son of Joseph, is mentioned in the traditional Aramaic translation of the prophets. For instance, in Targum Yohanan on Exodus 40:11, it says that the Messiah, son of Joseph, will be descended from Joshua, the son of Nun, from the tribe of Ephraim. Joshua, the son of Nun, was the servant of Moses who took over after Moses passed away, and he led the Israelites in their conquest of the land of Canaan. And the book, the biblical book of Joshua, is dedicated to him and describes his activities. There are other sources, apart from the Targum Yonatan, other sources say that the Messiah, son of Joseph, is a descendant of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. That is found in the Zohar. Jeroboam was the leader of the northern tribes who broke away from the house of David. He led the rebellion of the northern tribes from the southern tribe of Judah, and he set up the independent kingdom of Israel, in which were 10 of the tribes, and these tribes, after a few centuries, were conquered by the Assyrians and taken into exile, and they became lost. They lost their knowledge, recognition of who they themselves were, and knowledge of who they were in the eyes of historians and the eyes of the peoples around them was also disappeared, and they are known as lost in tribes of Israel, and they are peoples who we identify with specific Western nations that we mentioned at the beginning of our lecture. At all events, the person who had begun this division, the division between Judah and Joseph, was Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So there's a tradition that the future Messiah, son of Joseph, who will initiate a reunification between Joseph and Judah, will be descended from Jeroboam, as if to say he will rectify the offense, the sin of his forefather Jeroboam. The Messiah, son of Joseph, is the descendant of Jeroboam, will bring about the reunification of the lost 10 tribes, represented by Joseph, with Judah. He will therefore rectify the sin of his ancestor by reuniting with Judah. He will make good what his forefather had done wrong. We too, if we want to and we try hard, we can make good what our forefathers and our fathers and we ourselves have done wrong in the past. We can make it better. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov said, if you believe that you can make it worse, then believe that you can make it better, and you can. You can always improve. You can improve yourself, you can improve the whole world. It doesn't take much, just a little effort, a little step in the right direction, and not in the wrong one, and everything can be improved, made better than it was previously. We can build a better future for the sake of our peoples, for the sake of our children and their children after them. This is, in effect, is our duty. This is what we have to do in this world. Do the best we can with what we have, and work for the good. The Messiah, son of Joseph, in Jewish tradition in later generations, was taken to be a symbolic figure. The Messiah, son of Joseph, was understood to represent an historical process in which the Jewish peoples would return to their land and rebuild themselves by natural means. In other words, he was taken to be something beyond himself. He is the Messiah, son of Joseph. Is a definite person, will be a definite person, will be a definite figure who will appear in history. But apart from that, he will come to represent or to embody or to bring to fruition a whole historical process that will have begun possibly well before he appears. And this historical process that is associated with him concerns the rebuilding of the land of Israel, the gathering of the exiles of Judah, as we will see, and the use of natural means, the means of this world, in order to come closer to the divine will, in a spiritual sense. After the Messiah, son of Joseph, appears and begins his work, the Messiah, son of David, Mashiach ben David, will also appear, and he will impart a spiritual dimension to the physical, material, political structure that the process represented by the Messiah, son of Joseph, had already prepared. This does not nullify the belief, as we said already, does not nullify the belief that the Messiah, son of Joseph, is to be a real person. It merely supplements it. It adds to it. It helps us understand it. The Messiah, son of Joseph, was to appear before the Messiah, son of David. In some sources, the Messiah, son of Joseph, is called the first Redeemer. The second Redeemer is the Messiah, son of David. The Messiah, son of Joseph, will be the leader of the lost 10 tribes. He will be descended from Joseph. In a sense, the Messiah, son of Joseph, may be understood to represent Joseph and the lost 10 tribes as a collective body. By considering some of the deeds and actions of the Messiah, son of Joseph, we can gain further evidence as to who the descendants of Joseph, who he is to represent, who he is to be the leader of, who they are today. A few points concerning the Messiah, son of Joseph, are to be found in the book Kol Hator, The Voice of the Turtle Dove, which is available in Hebrew. It was a collection of the sayings of Rabbi Eliyahu of Vilna and his followers in the 18th century. This Rabbi Eliyahu of Vilna, also known as the Gaon of Vilna, the genius of Vilna, was one of the greatest rabbis who ever lived, and he is revered by all sections of the Jewish community. And he, Rabbi Eliyahu, was uh, was very occupied himself quite a lot with the subject of the Messiah, Ben Joseph, and how we can help him, how we can speed up the process, and what he represents. And all books, all these ideas, all the different sayings that we will bring, they are based on biblical sources. They're based on definite biblical verses. The Messiah, son of Joseph, according to the book called the Torah, will be similar, or in a sense, even represented by the figure of Cyrus. Cyrus was the king of Persia. Cyrus is recalled in the book of Isaiah. Cyrus, or Cyrus, he was the king of Persia historically, who conquered the Babylonian Empire, and he allowed the Jews who were then in exile to return to the land of Israel and to rebuild Jerusalem and to start the rebuilding of the temple. Isaiah lived about 60 years before Cyrus, but Isaiah mentioned him in his book and prophesied that he would act as he did. But the prophecy of Isaiah contained several details that did not come to fruition, that were not played out. The commentators say that Isaiah merely took the figure of Cyrus, or projected the figure of Cyrus, who we foresaw as a prototype for the Messiah, son of Joseph, who would come in the end times. In other words, Cyrus, as if to say, was a forerunner. He was a model who would in some ways precede or lay the foundations, establish the historical imprint in reality through which towards the end of ages the Messiah, son of Joseph, would be able to play out his task. Verses associated with Cyrus in Isaiah 42 actually to a degree applicable to the Messiah, son of Joseph. The Messiah, son of Joseph, will be revealed little by little. The Messiah, son of Joseph, in summary of sources, is referred to as the Messiah, son of Ephraim. Son meaning descendant from Ephraim, from the tribe of Ephraim. The Messiah, son of Joseph, is associated with the saving of lives. Everything I'm saying now is from the book called the Torah. Associated with the Rabbi Eliyahu of Vilna, the Messiah, son of Joseph, is associated with the saving of lives and the rescue of Israelites, and in this he is assisted by Judah and by the Messiah, son of David. The Messiah, son of Joseph, as we have seen, is connected with ingathering of the exiles. America and Britain, both in their own way in the past, did help in gathering of the exiles of Judah to the land of Israel. The book called the Torah says that our prayers are needed. With our deeds and prayers, we shall come to the aid of Messiah, son of Joseph. Through our exertions, with all our might, of self-arousal from below, as distinct from arousal from heaven. In other words, we don't have to wait to feel ourselves divinely inspired before we act. We have to want this. We have to do something in this direction to further this cause. And then, God willing, the Almighty will send His Spirit, will send His inspiration, give His inspiration and His guiding hand unto us. But the initial, there's a principle that the initial initiative has to come from our side concerning the Messiah, son of Joseph. We can achieve the union of the two Messiahs, of the Messiah, son of Joseph, and the Messiah, son of David. The stick of Joseph and the stick of Judah, mentioned in Ezekiel 37, can join together, just as Judah and Joseph must join together. In Ezekiel 37:16, Ezekiel was told to take one stick for Judah. Ezekiel was then told to take another stick for Joseph. Ezekiel is told, recalled in Ezekiel 37:17, to join the two sticks together, and then it says, "They shall become one in thine hand." These two sticks representing Judah and Joseph were to first become one in the hand of Ezekiel. That's what the verses say. And then after that, following on after that, in Ezekiel 37:19, God says to the two sticks, these two sticks, the sticks of Judah and the sticks of Joseph, of Ephraim, will become, shall be one in mine hand. In other words, in the hand of God. This is saying that first the two sticks will become one in your hands, in the hands of Ezekiel, and afterwards they will become one in my hands. That is, according to Kol HaTorah and the people who study this work, explain it to me. First, Judah and Joseph should try to join together from below through their mutual arousal in this direction, for their mutual understanding of what is involved, or what could come out of it, and a will for a reunification to take place. First, they should act, first they should attempt to come together, to join together from below, and then afterwards God will help them from above. The two sticks must be joined together through our initiative. The redemption is dependent upon the union of the two sticks, the stick of Joseph with the stick of Judah. These are the two messiahs, the Messiah son of Joseph and the Messiah son of David. And their union is represented in Ezekiel 17:37-17. Join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in your hand. At first, the union of Judah with Joseph comes about through arousal from below by way of nature, through our actions and our prayers and our will. As it says, join them one to another into one stick. And afterwards, the reunion is confirmed in a miraculous manner through the hand of God. As it says in Ezekiel, they shall become one in mine hand. Meaning they shall become reunited in the hand of God. The Messiah, son of Joseph, comes from the north. The book Kol HaTorah also says that his glory is like the firstborn of his bull, in Deuteronomy 33:17. That this refers to the Messiah, son of Joseph. The Messiah, son of Joseph, comes from the north side and will be aroused by himself. That means he will not wait to receive a call from heaven, as if to say, he will realize that this is what must be done, this is what he has to do, and he will go ahead and set out to do it. We should also take an example from this. If we want to be part of this process, this too is how we should act. The Messiah, son of Joseph, will defeat Esau, meaning the forces of Europe. The guardian angel of Esau will be pulled down by the guardian angel of Joseph. This is also spoken about in the biblical book of Obadiah. As you can see on our website, in our commentary to Obadiah, and as we will in another talk perhaps elaborate upon, the Messiah, son of Joseph, expands the borders of Israel. He wars against Amalek. Amalek represents anti-Semitism, the haters of the Jews. Hatred of the Jews is epitomized by Amalek. And the Messiah, son of Joseph, fights against Amalek and defeats him. The Messiah, son of Joseph, as we said, enlarges the borders of Israel, of Judah in Israel. And this is hinted at in Isaiah 54:2, where it says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. In other words, expand your dwelling places, enlarge the place of your tent and your places of dwelling, and your protective bases. Will expand outwards. There's a commandment to expand the borders of Israel, and this primarily is part of the task of the Messiah, son of Joseph, according to the book Kol HaTorah. The Messiah, son of Joseph, has the duty of waging war against Amalek and of expanding the borders of Israel and of protecting Israel and Judah from destruction. Amalek represents anti-Semitism and the attempt to exterminate the Jewish people. Britain and America in the 19th and early 20th century did often attempt to protect the Jews in Europe from anti-Semitism, and they were almost the only ones who did so. They were the primary ones who were active in this sphere, and to a degree they received some assistance from France and from other nations, but they were the America, the USA, especially the USA and Britain were the major parties in seeking to help the Jewish people who were being oppressed by Europeans and others, and they did do something,
And they did this because they realized this was part of the national duty of being what they are and who they are, even though they could not necessarily give a biblical, the apt term to this quality of theirs. They were Joseph, they represented an arousal of the Messiah, son of Joseph, a forerunner, as if to say, an urge, a yearning for this process to take place, and they acted in that direction. Also, these people in the 20th century, they did help for whatever reasons they went to war, for whatever thoughts they may have had. The bottom line is that they did help save the Jews from destruction. The Nazis intended to exterminate all the Jews in the world, and they were helped by the Japanese and by other peoples, and they succeeded in exterminating and killing one third of the Jewish people. And they would have done more if they could have, and they were prevented from doing so by the Western allies, by Britain, by America, also by Russia, but primarily by forces who opposed Hitler from the beginning to the end, which was Britain. And we find in these nations, through other, using other criteria, other means of investigation, that these peoples, to a large degree, are descended from the tribes of Joseph, and they fulfill the role of Joseph. Since the founding of the State of Israel in 1948, the USA has often helped protect the State of Israel from destruction. The USA has bankrolled the State of Israel, and it has protected us, and even now, all the nations of the world are on and off violently against the State of Israel. Most decisions taken by the UN are against the State of Israel, as if they have nothing more serious to concern themselves with, and there's no more pressing need in amongst world peoples apart from the wiping out or doing what they can to belittle, to diminish the Jewish hold on the land of Israel. And only the USA in effect is protecting us from these evil plans and schemes and wicked designs of the heathen nations. The USA, however, has not really helped Israel expand her borders. On the contrary, the USA has often forced Israel to give up territories it had liberated. It has forced Israel to constrict her borders, but maybe that will change and maybe it will not. At the moment, no one seems very optimistic about the situation, but you never can tell, can you, one way or the other. Maybe the USA and Britain will help Israel expand their borders in the future. Is the Messiah, son of Joseph, supposed to do so? And they, being from Joseph, should be inclined towards, should feel a pull in that direction, an inclination in that direction, an inner push, an inner realization that that is the historical and biblically ordained task in this life, amongst other things. Joseph is supposed to help Israel, help the State of Israel expand her borders. Joseph, the son, Messiah, son of Joseph, is supposed to help Judah ingather the exiles, and the USA and also Britain have done that, both publicly and covertly. The USA were in effect was due to the intervention of American presidents, including President Bush, the father of the President Bush, who enabled the Jews of Ethiopia to come to Israel, and throughout the history of the State of Israel, they have been supportive of us, and they were also those who helped open up the gates of the Soviet Union and enabled hundreds of thousands of Russian Jews to move to the State of Israel. And not only did they enable it, they also helped fund it, at least to a degree. And we have to recognize this. and that historically, as far as we, in the normal natural state, barring miracles, in the normal natural state of affairs, they have fulfilled the task that the Messiah, son of Joseph, or Joseph in his entirety, was destined to fulfill and was prophesied that Joseph would do, and they have done it. According to the book called Ator, the Messiah, son of Joseph, will purify the land of Israel. As it says, this is a hint, Joseph was governor over the land in Genesis 42:6. He will overcome all the forces of impurity. This is one of the great tasks of the first Redeemer. The first Redeemer is another name for the Messiah, son of Joseph. In order to extirpate, to wipe out, to erase the spirit of impurity from the country, the land must be settled by Jews and by Israelites who acknowledge the law, who keep the law. The Messiah, son of Joseph, must help Judah to do this. That Joseph in the future will also settle in areas of the greater land of Israel. We must remember that according to the Bible, the land of Israel should extend from the Nile River up to the Euphrates and into southern Turkey, including all of Syria, Lebanon, parts of Iraq, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, the Isle of Cyprus, and parts of Egypt. And with proper administration and a possible coming, approaching climatic change, this region is capable of supporting a large number of people, a very large number of people. After Joseph begins to settle these areas on his own initiative, later there will be effected a more complete union between Joseph and Judah. One of the tasks of the first Redeemer, the Messiah, son of Joseph, is to settle the land and to purify it through its settling. When the Holy Land is settled with Israelites, the land becomes pure. Joshua ben Nun was a forerunner of the Messiah, son of Joseph. The first Redeemer, that is the Messiah, son of Joseph, will fight against Amalek with total warfare, in total war against the anti-Semites, against the Jew haters. This was the task of Joshua ben Nun, who was a forerunner and ancestor of the Messiah, son of Joseph. Also, we should realize the conspiracy theories are also anti-Jewish and anti-Israelite. They're against Joseph. They hate Joseph. They tell lies about Joseph and about other people. They spread dissension and falsehood. Our struggle against conspiracy theories is a struggle on behalf of the forces of Joseph and Judah. And by conspiracy theories, I must repeat, as I've said several times, we're not talking about collusions or combinations in general. We're talking about conspiracy theories as not everybody knows them to be, as they are in effect. And such conspiracy theories with a big C that say that much of the evils of the world, or sometimes all of them, are caused by elite groups amongst the Jewish people and amongst the so-called Anglo establishment in Britain and in America. That is what we mean by conspiracy theories, and this is false, this is a lie, this is evil, bad, and those who identify with Joseph should disassociate themselves with such nefarious and malicious imaginations. Before the coming of the Messiah, Elijah will come, will appear. Or he will come around about the same time, but he will be part of the process of arousal, of preparing the way. Elijah is also, in a sense, connected with the Messiah, son of Joseph. He is part of the same body, of the same team, one could say. He has a similar task, and there is even a certain overlap in our appreciation of the two, of how they are depicted in popular sources. In Malachi 4 it says, "Behold, I will send you my prophet Elijah, and he will return the hearts of the fathers to their sons." One of the tasks of Elijah is to arouse the spirit of the Messiah, son of Joseph. In Malachi 4:5 it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Malachi 4:6. "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." One of the meanings of this verse, which has several meanings, but one of the meanings in Scripture, the biblical text, a verse can have several meanings at one and the same time, and usually these meanings are different applications of the same principle. One of the meanings of the expression to returning the hearts of the fathers to their sons, the hearts of the children to their fathers, is to make people aware of the Israelite tribal identity. To let people who are descended from the lost ten tribes of Israel know who they are and who their tribal forefathers most likely were. This is what Brit-Am is doing. Help Brit-Am, help us. If you can help Brit-Am, please do so. The Messiah, son of Joseph, according to the book Kol HaTor, will cause the non-Israelite nations to repent. He will arouse not only Israel, but also the peoples of the world to repent of their sins. Jonah the prophet, who incidentally was probably from the tribe of Issachar, but Jonah the prophet had the task of Messiah, son of Joseph, in his generation. We have the principle that the figures, biblical figures, will appear in the end times. The Messiah, son of David, the Messiah, son of Joseph, Elijah. That these are real people, real beings, who will appear when their time comes, they will appear and they will do their task and they will fulfill their duty and they fulfill the destiny, enable us to fulfill our destiny, and they are real entities. And even so, beyond that, we also, there's a principle that in each and every generation, there are people or even movements or groups who have something of the spirit of these people, who are more or less forerunners of these people, who have the attributes of these characters in their generation. In each generation, there is someone who has the attributes of these characters to the highest possible degree possible at that time and in those circumstances. So Jonah the prophet, to some degree, in his generation, he had the attributes of the Messiah, son of Joseph. And Jonah the prophet went, and he went to the people of Assyria, went to the heathen, wicked, pagan people of Assyria, and he preached unto them, and he caused them to repent of their wicked ways. He helped reform the heathen, the Gentiles. And this was also a task of Joseph on the whole. Joseph was to become a nation that from within would reform and uplift the Gentile nations. And this is what the British and Americans did, and their kin did do, because they fulfilled the task of Joseph to a great degree. And they are still doing it, and they are destined to do it even more and should strive to do so. There's another point which Kol HaTor brings out, that Joseph is connected to Jacob. Joseph was the son of Jacob. All Jacob had 12 sons. Each one of his sons became the forefather of their own tribe. And each one of these sons had their own peculiar characteristics and individuality. They say that Joseph looked like his father. Joseph was very similar to his father. Different midrashim, different sayings point out a lot of similarities between the lives of Jacob and Joseph. That there was an overlap in their beings, in their existences. They both fulfilled similar functions in this earth. Jacob and Joseph were concentrated upon an arousal from below, from their own doing things of their own initiative.
beginning the action and letting God complete it, letting God carry them through. But they would start off, they would begin what had to be done. Isaiah 35:10 says, "And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. The call of Torah says to the task of ransoming captives, of those who are oppressed, of those Israelites who need to be taken out of their exile." And in effect, all the Israelite nations on the European continent are still in exile. They are more in exile than Joseph. They have to be helped to come out of their exile, of their own limitations which their situation places them under. Due to their being in exile, as if being less liberated than Joseph, they recently have become more against the state of Israel and more actively supporting the Palestinians than Joseph did, because they are captives. They are encaptured in the throes of Edom. They are dominated by the European presence, and they are acting accordingly. So Joseph needs to redeem the exiles. Redeeming the exiles means helping Jews in come out of, like the America helped the Jews in Ethiopia, helped the Jews in Russia. It also means looking out, showing the fellow Israelite nations, such as Holland, such as Finland, such as the Scandinavian nations, showing them the way, encouraging them to assert themselves and to realize that the good of the Jewish people in the land of Israel is their good, and the Jewish people are preparing the way for them and acting on their behalf. And that beyond that, apart from that, their task should be, according to what God wants from them, according to the Bible, their task should be to help the Jews in the land of Israel, establish the land of Israel, settle it, increase in population, and expand their borders. The Kol HaTorah also mentions that the major ingathering of the exiles cannot be less than 600,000. 600,000 people is a key number. With 600,000 people, 600,000 Israelites, actually warriors and men between the ages of 20 and 60 came out of Egypt, but nevertheless these 600,000 who came out of Egypt, they represent a special number. There's a special sacredness in this number, and the Kol HaTorah just says that we need 600,000 souls, 600,000 people to begin the major ingathering of the exiles. And it's interesting to note that in 1948, when the state of Israel was established in 1948, the Jewish population in the land of Israel and what was then Palestine had just began to exceed the number of 600,000, and immediately they had a state and proceeded to gather many more of their brothers from who were oppressed in European concentration camps and European displacement camps, who were still suffering from the trauma of the Holocaust, and also were those in North Africa and in Iraq and in Syria and in the Arab land, all the Arab lands where they were being oppressed and persecuted by their Muslim neighbours, and in Yemen and in Yemen, where too was a great airlift, fantastic airlift, where the whole Jewish population, which was quite numerous, was uplifted and transported to what was in Palestine, to the land of Israel, was transferred to the land of Israel after the declaration of independence, but a movement had begun beforehand. And this whole process was done in effect with British help, and Britain did help the Jewish people, the Jewish state of Israel, in many, very many ways, and often preferred to keep silent about it and even have itself presented to the world as being against the state of Israel, as being anti-Zionist, because they wanted to curry favor with the Arabs and not to make the Arabs angry at them. And since they're more vulnerable, or have become more vulnerable, they're in a different situation than the USA.
and have decided that they cannot do what they want to do to help the Jewish people in an open manner. And apart from the fact that they don't always want to do so, there are quite a few anti-Semites amongst them, as there are amongst the USA, as there are amongst them everywhere, including the state of Israel, including amongst the Jewish people themselves. Getting back to the Kol HaTor, he says that the Messiah, son of Joseph, will reveal secrets of the Torah. He will open up new avenues, new ways of looking at things, new ways of understanding things. It's because Joseph was called Zafaneach Paneach, the uncover of secrets. See, who opens up that which is hidden. Genesis 41:45. And this too, this quality too, will be exemplified in Mashiach ben Yosef and in the whole process associated with him. He has the horns of a unicorn. His horns are the horns of a unicorn with which he strikes the peoples. Deuteronomy 33. The main task of the Messiah, son of Joseph, is the everlasting war against Amalek. The horns of a unicorn are linked with the Messiah, son of Joseph. A unicorn is part of the symbol of Britain. The lion and the unicorn appear on the coat of arms of Britain. On the coat of arms of Scotland, there are two unicorns. Many descendants of Joseph from Scotland, or Scotch-Irish from Ulster, people who have mixed Irish Scottish descent, or people who came from Scotland and settled in Ulster, at all events basically Scottish people, were amongst the early settlers of America, and maybe more than 70%, close to 80% of all American presidents, especially the great ones, have been from this stock, and they still are a dominant force in a American existence. Mashiach ben Joseph, as we said, one of his major tasks is to fight anti-Semitism, to destroy Amalek. Anti-Semites hate Jews, and as well as hating Jews, they usually are also the enemies of the British and Americans. And even those people amongst the British and Americans who are anti-Semitic themselves, who hate the Jews, when we examine them, when we look into what they're doing and what they believe in and what doctrines they promote and their private activities, we find that they too are in effect enemies of the people. They are enemies of Joseph. They are enemies of America and Britain. America, Britain, Judah, that is Joseph, and the Jews in many ways are one entity in this world. For practical intents and purposes, from many different points of view, from many different aspects of geopolitical reality, of ideological concepts, of ways of thinking, of attitude, they are basically one entity. The so-called Judeo-Christian ethic is there. You don't really find it amongst other people. It's one thing. In addition to Joseph and Elijah, Kol HaTor also mentions the tribe of Dan in connection with Messiah, son of Joseph. Dan, the tribe of Dan, according to Kol HaTor, will assist the Messiah, son of Joseph. The prince of Dan will do this. The prince of Dan represents the people of Dan. We have identified the descendants of Dan as being found today primarily amongst the people of Denmark, also other areas of Scandinavia, and in Ireland and in Wales. So Dan is pointed out especially by the prince of Dan, and Dan is pointed out especially by the Kol HaTor as destined to play an important part in this whole process associated with the Messiah, son of Joseph. Kol HaTor repeats itself with a variation on theme. It has own unique style, so we get the same message occurring over and over again with various nuances which have to be studied and learned One of the things it says is that we have to do our utmost for the sake of the union of the two Messiahs, Messiah son of Joseph and Messiah son of David, the stick of Joseph and the stick of Judah, that Ezekiel described as uniting. That is our task, that is what we have to do, and we all will do, should do this to the best of our ability, however we can. And one of the ways of doing it, of doing what you can, is to help read Am according to how you can. God bless you all. This is Yair Davidi signing off from Bambi, Brit Am, Broadcasting Israel in Jerusalem.